Excited to celebrate alongside of all of the different missionaries that we've gotten a chance to hear from this month, all the different people that are seeing some of the things that God is doing around the world and some even close to us here locally. And so we thank you for the work that Bridgehaven is doing, and we appreciate the update that you've given us this morning. And for the last about 6 weeks now, we've been on this theme of missions. We've been talking about it in our Sunday school. We've been hearing local and internationally about people who are working in the church. And I want to invite you into a little bit of time to just talk in church, to yell out some answers of what is your mission. Each of us have a mission in life. What's yours? I want to hear a little bit from you guys today. What's your mission? To be a good grandma, great mission. A great mission to be a good grandma, for sure.
To raise children who love Jesus.
To raise children who love Jesus, yes. To be a good example. To be a good steward of God's land, absolutely. To serve Jesus? To share Jesus, absolutely. Share Jesus, a great mission. Great mission. Who else has a mission in life here this morning? Yeah. To believe in God, absolutely. Personal mission to grow closer and to believe in God. To be an encourager. Absolutely. We're going to talk a little bit about that today. Jesus sent us collectively on a mission. We talked about it last week, how as a church, we have a mission, we have a purpose. We have ways that we're going to be going about doing things. Our purpose to glorify God, our mission to do it by making disciples who love God and one another, and by making disciples who make disciples. We have all of these things that we are called to together as a group. But it's been a question for a while, and it's been a question that has gone on for generations of people asking the simple question, what is my purpose in life? What is my mission? For those asking, it may be their mission that they see their successful neighbor and they think, my mission is to make as much money as they do. You know, for others, they may see a picture on Instagram, or they may see some social media, and they think, my purpose is to look like that. My purpose is for my life to mirror theirs. For some, their purpose may be to make it to the gym every morning. Not doing great on that one. Their purpose may be to make the grade in school. Their purpose may be to win the next game. Their purpose may be to get the biggest deer. Their purpose may be to save the environment. And all of these things can be great purposes. They can be great missions. But I want you to know that you were made for so much more. You were made for so much more on your mission. Today, in a simple way, we're going to look at that big question in life. What is my purpose? What is my mission? And as we've talked about all these different missions that we've been on, all these different missions that we can look at the church, that we can look at what God has done, as we can look at what Jesus has done, as we can look at what other people have done. This morning, we look at what we need to be doing. What our role is in this. What steps we need to personally take. I hope this morning one of a couple of things happens. that either you look and you're reminded of the mission that you have and you're encouraged in the way that you're moving forward in it, or I hope that you go away thinking, I need to find my mission. I need to do a better job of looking in and seeing where I need to be, where I need to be working, where I've let my mission slide. Both things can happen, and I want to encourage you in both of those ways. If you're on either side of that, let us help you. Let us walk with you. Let's find that mission together. So our mission in a way, in a big picture, our mission is all the same. Our mission is to bring glory to God. In a vacuum, in a generic answer to the question, what is my purpose in life? What is my mission in life? The answer is to bring glory to God. We are each made to reflect God and to bring glory to Him. 1 Corinthians 10, chapter 31 says it this way, so whatever you eat, whatever you drink, whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. He's had these questions throughout the book of 1 Corinthians about what should I do here? What should I do there? What should I do in this situation? And he says, whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. We all have a purpose to bring glory to God, but it goes on. And in Romans chapter 12, we get this picture that there's the big purpose that each of us have. But at the same time, God didn't create clones. God didn't create robots. He didn't create each person to walk in the same way, to look the same, to act the same, to work in the same way. God created unique people. And God's love and God's character is seen in the uniqueness of people. Because God's not limited to one emotion. God's not limited to one static character. God is bigger than our comprehension. And He makes each unique person, designing them and knitting them together. And so we each have a role. We each have a part that's separate. I know nothing about mechanics, but Clayton rolled up in his truck this week, and he was talking about his old, what was it? It was 78, his 78 pickup truck. And he was talking about how he could go to the auto parts store and he can get a spring from here or a bolt from there and he can just put that all together. But as Clayton probably knows, and as little as I know, I even know, if all the parts were the same exact piece, a car wouldn't roll down the road very well. And so God creates and He forms and He makes different parts for us to work together. And so in Romans, it brings up this fact that we have different parts. In Romans chapter 12, if you have your Bible, I hope you're opening it up with me. Romans chapter 12, starting with verse 3, it says, "For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith that God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ Jesus, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, do it generously, or do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it
cheerfully. You see, we are one body, but we have different parts. We each have these missions. We each have these purposes that although we have the all-encompassing purpose of giving glory to God, we each have unique purposes and unique missions. We have unique parts to play in the mission of the church. And you have the responsibility to God and to one another within the body of Christ to be serving. To be serving your fellow brothers and sisters. To be using the gifts that God has given. And that might step on some toes. That might honestly give a kick in the pants. You have gifts, you have talents, you have abilities. You have times, treasures, talents that God has given you to use. And he says, those don't just belong to you. Each one belongs to all the others. And so we're encouraged to be following. Your life is not your own. Christ told his disciples long ago, you want to be great? You want to follow me? You want to get to where I'm taking you? This is how it's going to happen. You're going to take up your cross. You're going to serve others and you're going to follow me. And where did Christ lead each and every time? He led to loving service. Each one belongs to another, humbly and in love, belonging to one another, each having a different part. There are ways that we serve in our mission, in the individual missions that we have, in the individual gifts that God has given us. And we're going to go through the different ones that are in this short little section of scripture in the book of Romans. And the first one, it hits it hard, starting right off the bat, prophecy. It says, hey, some God has given you this ability for prophecy. Go and use it in accordance to your faith. And we can get to this prophecy one. And this is a fun one to start with because sometimes we think of prophecy and we think of like crystal balls and telling the future and like all this stuff. And we're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Yeah, prophecy, that's a weird thing. That's a weird thing. But prophecy, it's not about looking for the future. It's not about some dude trying to lead everyone to drink the Kool-Aid. Prophecy is simply to speak forth the message of God to his people. A prophet has always been simply someone that God uses to deliver messages from God's revealed words to his people, doing that to inspire life change. And it's looked different from time to time throughout history. In that simple definition, to give messages from God's revealed word to his people, inspiring life change, it could look different. In the Old Testament time, we see prophets like Moses, like Samuel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Habakkuk, Daniel, on and on and on. All those little books at the end of your Old Testament that, by the way, are great, great books and can speak some great truth. We see them in very special ways that God worked in their lives. They didn't have God's written word, so for the most part, God would speak in special ways through them. And every time he spoke to what was going on in their lives. And every once in a while, they'd give him this glimpse of the hope that they had because of the trouble that they were in. But they spoke to what was going on in that day. They were delivering messages from God's revealed word to inspire life change. And sometimes, thrown in, They would receive and reveal from God a glimpse of the salvation and the Savior that would come one day. In the New Testament, we see these new kind of prophets seen in the apostles who would deliver messages to God's people from God's word revealed to them by Jesus to inspire life change. And today, God equips people to profess God's revealed word through the Bible, to understand what God's still saying to us that inspires life change. And so we're challenged, if there's a gift of being able to take God's revealed word and present it to people to inspire a life change, we're challenged to use that gift. To use that gift in the church. To be using it for God's glory, to bring glory to God. The second one that we see is service. And service is one that encompasses so much. There's so many different types of service. There's so many different types of ways that you can get in and serve. It's simply to identify undone tasks in God's work, however menial they are, and to use available resources to get the job done. Jesus tells his disciples that this idea of service will be the mark of greatness upon them. Jesus shows his disciples service by washing their feet. He shows them his service by taking steps to the cross, to give of what was his and giving to them. Some can work in ways that some will never see. Some can work in ways that some could never have done. And each can be great works of service to God in those ways. My mind this week goes directly to Randy and Ray. This week we had some troubles, less last week. And they came and they worked to fix the baptistry water heater when others couldn't. When others find themselves instead drenched, they had this gift of being able to come in and serve in a way that they just got the job done. They used the resources they had, the talents that God has given them through life experiences, through just general knowledge, and they used it to serve God. Our mission can be accomplished in great ways through small tasks. Use your gifts in a way that brings glory to God. The next one we see through this list that's given in the book of Romans is teaching. Teaching simply to instruct others in the Bible in a logical, systematic way so as to communicate pertinent information for true understanding and growth. We've been blessed as a church to have some teachers who are gifted with this, to be able to walk through the Bible in a really systematic way, to be able to look at it and pick out the bits of scripture, the bits of information that are really needed to work in our lives in awesome ways. And we get to see that through our Sunday school classes, through our small group classes that get to meet. And I just want to encourage you, if you have that gift or if you've been using that gift, to continue in that. To continue looking at the ways that God has equipped you to teach and inspire others, and to continue to use it to bring glory to God. We want to continue to understand and to grow deeper on our relationship with Christ. And if your mission is one of a teacher, continue to use that gift. Next one that we see is this gift of encouragement. Simply to come alongside of someone with words of encouragement, comfort, consolation, counsel to help them be all that God wants them to be. I want to see a raise of hands. How many of you have ever gotten at just the right time a word of encouragement from somebody else? You know, a lot of those hands, you're probably thinking of some of the same people maybe in this building. Some of the same people that have maybe walked through the church. God just gifts some people with that. And don't you love those people? You love all these people and all their different gifts. But the people that come up to you and like at just the right time, they say that thing. That thing that you've been needing to hear for a while. That thing that you've been missing for a little while. God allows some people to know the right times to give gentle words of encouragement. And if that's you, if you have something that comes to mind where you're just thinking, man, I need to say this to this person. I need to let them know. I need to give them this bit of encouragement. Why hold back? Those are always great times. I've never seen a terrible reaction to a loving comment, to a loving compliment, to one where someone says, hey, you know something I love about you? Usually not met with anger. It's usually not meant with resentment. Someone says, hey, I really want to encourage you in this. I see this awesome thing in your life. If your gift is encouragement, use it to the glory of God. Next thing we see in here is this idea of giving. Sharing with material resources what you have with cheerfulness and without thinking of return. We have a giving and generous church. And we are people in church, in this whole idea of being God's people. We're naturally called to be giving, to be self-sacrificing. And there have been some that have been uniquely blessed in amazing ways to do this with such a cheerful heart. To know, once again, the right times to give. People with such a deep care for their fellow brother and sister in Christ that they just give. Carolyn and I were blessed one time to receive a gift that someone simply gave. We thought that it was a nice thing for those people to do that. We thought it was a nice thing to get to receive a gift. But everything at that time was okay. A couple months later, some unexpected payments had to come. A couple of twists and turns and the total, when we looked back over those 2 months, after that couple had just given, it was an amazing God thing. The total ended up being, for all the unexpected, for all the twists, for all the turns, the total ended up being exactly the amount that all the unexpected expenses came. Because someone simply gave. And we got to see God work in amazing ways. And Carolyn and I remember texting her and saying, sweetheart, you'll never guess. I just added up those things. You'll never guess what the amount came to. It's amazing the ways that God works when we simply use the gifts that He's given us. If your gift is to give, then do it to the glory of God. We see on down the line that leadership is another gift that God has blessed some with in incredible ways. To stand before people in such a way as to attend to the direction of the body with such care and diligence as to motivate others to get involved in the accomplishment of their goals. God has set apart and given some the mission of leadership. We have a leadership here at the church that works in this diligent way to be sure that God's people are being taken care of, so that the body of Christ is being attended to, and so that God is glorified in it all. And you know, God has gifted about the five or six men that come in and lead in our teams. But you know what? God has also gifted others in our church. And as a special insert to this in particular gift, is if you feel like God has called you to leadership, if you feel like God is really placed on your heart to be this diligent leader in the church, talk to some of our leaders. Get together with some of our leaders so that as we grow as a church, as we walk as a church, we can begin to train, we can begin to walk with you. Because God's church is not just for one generation. And we want to be diligent as leaders. We've talked about this, being diligent in the fact that we want to bring up the next generation of leaders. And so if that's something, as a shameless insert to that one in particular, that special one, if you feel like you've been called to leadership, talk to one of the leaders in our church. Let's start to walk and let's start to nurture that gift so that it can come to be a great payoff for the glory of God. Use it to the glory of God. Next one that God gives is this gift of mercy. This gift of mercy. And this one can show up in really powerful ways as well. Each of these can work in awesome ways, but this gift of mercy, it's what we see a lot in the talkings with Bridgehaven this morning. We see that they have, as a collective group over there, and I'm sure some of you here have this gift of being able to walk with people who have fallen on hard times in their life. Some of them who have made decisions that have impacted their lives. And to be sensitive towards those who are suffering, whether physically, mentally, or emotionally. But to feel genuine sympathy with their misery. To speak words of compassion, but caring for them with the deeds of their love to help alleviate their distress. There's some people that are just gifted with this ability to genuinely love, to walk with people through the ups and through the downs, to be able to give of themselves, of their comfort, and to help people, and to do it all with love. And you see, in each of these gifts, in each of these ways that God has equipped his people to prophesy, to serve, to teach, to encourage, to give, to lead, to be merciful, in each of these ways, we're given an example. Because when we look back at the life of Jesus Christ, we see that he is the greatest prophet that there has been. John tells us he is the Word. He is God's revealed Word to us. And so we see Jesus as every day in his life revealing to God's people God's Word to inspire life change to happen. We see Christ as the greatest servant there ever was. One that didn't care if he had to get down in the dirt. One that didn't care if his clothes got muddy. One that didn't care if his comfort that day wasn't at an all-time high, but he just wanted to get in there and serve people. We see Christ as an encourager to his disciples as he picks them up every time they're down. Think of the story with Peter when he's failed, and Christ comes back to him and he encourages him. He says, "Hey, you love me? Go feed my sheep. We're picking you back up. I'm still going to use you. I'm going to encourage you in this way." We see Christ as he gave literally everything. He gave his life for us. Jesus is the greatest giver there ever was. Jesus was a great leader. A leader that, instead of always being at the front of the pack, instead of always being a leader that was saying, "Look at me, look at see what I'm doing," God was the greatest leader in that he pointed to the Father. And he walked with people and directed them and inspired them to reach the goal of knowing God. And we see Jesus as the most merciful. One that was able to look at a woman at the well with five husbands. One that she's living with now that's not her husband and is able to encourage her in a way and be merciful to her in a way that picks her back up. One that's able to be merciful to a woman caught in adultery, dragged out to be stoned. One that's merciful to take a murderer and turn his life around by giving him a second chance. One that's able to look at the world and all the mistakes that it's made and have the mercy to give himself for it. And Jesus works in all things with love. Paul will go on to say, after he's listed all of these ways that our individual and unique missions may take place, addressing each gift and then to everyone, he says this: love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but be careful to do what's right in the eyes of everyone. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Did you see the different gifts in that message of love? Messages of giving. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Messages of mercy. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Messages of leadership. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. All wrapped up in this idea of love. all focused on reflecting the love that God has given to us in the first place. As far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone in love. There has to be love there. It has to be love that's the glue that holds the church together. But this isn't just any love. For Christians, we aren't bound together because we're all exactly alike. In fact, God has crafted and created the church to bring people together from all walks of life. God's church was never about looking the right part or to conform. God has always been on a mission to transform. We're held together because of only one name, and that's the name of Jesus Christ. And if it were not for the love that he has given, this band of misfits that we call the church would not have stood the test of time. But because we have Jesus, we've been called by the greatest missionary and unifier to work as one body. And this is all started off by these verses that begin this charge. Paul says in Romans 12, he says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper form of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's then that you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." If you're wondering what your mission is, if you're wondering what God's will for your life is, be transformed by him. Our mission is to reach people in our own unique way, to bring glory to God in ways that which God has given us. In the process, you should notice a transformation that has happened and that's still taking place in your own life. Because God is still on his mission. His mission of transforming lives and bringing the world back to him. So I pray that as God has gifted this church, as God has commissioned his church, that whatever your gift is, that you use to bring glory to God in love. Will you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for the ways that you have equipped your sons and daughters to be able to give glory to you by the work that we do each and every day, God. We just pray. We pray that you will inspire us and lead us on as each of us take on these missions that you've called us to. God, help us to be your sons and daughters in the way that we are on mission with you. God, as we've seen the local and the international work that you've done throughout the world, we look at our own doorstep, at our own neighbors, and Lord, we pray that you will set a fire in our hearts to be on mission. God, that mission doesn't wait. That mission doesn't come to us. But Lord, you have sent us out into the world. God, as we are in this building, as we step out the doors, we are entering a mission field that you have set in place for us. God, for those who are gifted with the ability to speak your revealed word to people in order to inspire life change. We pray that they do that with confidence and with boldness. God, for those who you have equipped to encourage others, we pray that you will encourage them and give them the words to build up others. God, for those that you have sent out to serve others, Lord, we pray that they will serve with strength, God, for those that you have made to lead, Lord, we just pray that you will be the leader that they follow. God, for those that need to know your love, God, we pray that you send forth those who are merciful. God, we pray that in each of these gifts, in each of these ways that you have equipped your people, that we will not let those talents go to waste, that we'll not let those gifts pass on by, but that we will use them for your glory in everything we do. God, we love you. God, we thank you. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.